Cleaney. I forgot your name already.
Majewski.
Majewski, Commissioner Majewski. Commissioner Brusk, follow me here. First order of business is approval of minutes of the May 15, 2025 regular meeting. We need a motion for that.
Motion to approve. Second it.
Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Rostro made a motion. Commissioner Majewski seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Did you approve or did you abstain? Or did you, did
oh, I'm
you,
sorry. I was reading. Approve.
Okay. Carries unanimously. Okay, public hearing application, Silver Fall, 25-7 Silver Falls Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owner applicant, Daniel Gajiraj. Regular activity associated with a four-lot re-subdivision. Do you have any...
Yes, one thing before we go too much further. Eric, we need you to state on the record that you listened to the...
Oh.
Meeting minutes, or the...
The meeting minutes from last month?
Meeting recorded from last month.
Yes. I listened to the meeting minutes recorded from last month.
Thank you. Okay. So, sorry about that. New staff comments on May 24th, 2025. The town soil scientists had a couple of additional comments on the application, and the applicant responded to those comments on June 5th and submitted a revised plan. Final comments from the soil scientists were received on June 9th. Indicating that all comments had been addressed. I attached a copy of that to your staff report. A site walk was conducted on Friday, June 6, 2025 at 6 p.m. Commissioner Occhialini was in attendance on behalf of the Inland Wetlands Commission, and Robert Russo was in attendance on behalf of the applicant. The applicant is here. Should there be any questions, Ray, if you could give us any information.
No, I was more than happy to show up, and we did the site walk, and everything was marked out good. When we walked up, there was definite wetlands on the right-hand side, a little bit in the middle of the road that was really not wet. I don't see any big problems with what Mr. Russo was explaining to me, how they're going to take care of it with the berm, the pond, and everything else. And it was really a short span for that road to go through. It was well marked out. The wetlands are well marked out. I don't have any problem with it.
If the commission has any questions, like I said, Bob DeLuca is here on behalf of the applicant.
I think one clarification. The secondary access road is shown for just to show that it's there. You're not actually applying for that, correct?
We are.
You are. Right. Okay. And it makes little sense, but did Waterford notify us? We notified Waterford of our plans. Did they notify us that they're the plans in Waterford?
I have not received anything from the town of Waterford, but I believe
it's nothing official submitted other than they're trying to, what the applicant is trying to.
You might want to stand by a microphone. Just
what the applicant is trying to get approved is a campground use in that zone in Waterford, and that's what the text amendment is for. So unless that goes forward, at that point there'll be a site plan, and then you'll get notified the same way.
Okay.
We notified them.
But there were no wetland impacts with the road, so it's not a... All right. Is there any other?
I have included a motion for approval if the commission is inclined to approve it. If the commission chooses to deny the application, they must state the reasons for denial on the record.
We have to close the hearing first. Is there any more evidence that needs to come into the commission for this?
I have not.
Do you have any questions? All right, then, do we need a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second it.
Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Accolini made the motion. Commissioner LeClaire seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. So now we have a permit application. Anybody have anything about that? Because if we want to approve it, then... if everyone is okay with this, we need a motion to approve.
All right, I'll make the motion after giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and or Section 6 of the Montville Inland Wetlands and Water Course Regulations and Section 22A 41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 25 IWC 7 Silver Falls Road, parcel ID 001-007-00A, Oakdale, Connecticut. Applicant owner Daniela Gerge, thank you, for regulated activities within wetlands and upland review areas associated with a four-lot subdivision as per the application associated documents dated March 27, 2025, and plan titled Residential Resubdivision, map 001, block 007, lot 00A, Silver Falls Road, Town of Montville, Connecticut, 06370, prepared for Daniel Gerge, dated April 10th, 2025, revised June 5th, 2025. Standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Seconded.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right. Show cause hearings, none. Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks from the public not relating to items on the agenda? All right. Old business, Noble Hill Road. Owner Jeffrey Phillips, Jennifer Michaels, update on ongoing enforcement action and assistant correct office order for unpermitted activities within the wetland and 50-foot upland review areas.
So at the last meeting of May 15th, 2025, this commission voted to continue the show cause hearing until the next meeting of June 12th, 2025. The commission advised the applicant and his engineer that an application must be submitted for the next meeting, along with an explanation of remediation, including the culvert, which was placed without permits. The commission also inquired about the additionally excavated area closer to the site entrance and if wetlands were located in that area. The commission agreed to allow the property owner to continue to mow a pathway to walk his dog along his property. On May 21st, 2025, review comments were received from Robert Russo, certified soil scientist on behalf of the town of Montville, and are listed as Exhibit 21. A copy is attached to the staff report. On May 23rd, 2025, staff met with Mark Reynolds, professional engineer, on behalf of the property owner. Mr. Reynolds was provided with a copy of the May 21st, 2025 review comments received by Robert Russo. Mr. Reynolds provided to staff a copy of a letter dated April 23rd, 2025, received by Mr. Phillips from the Army Corps of Engineers, listed as Exhibit Number 22. A copy is attached to the staff report. On May 27th, 2025, staff forwarded an email to Mark Reynolds, James Sipperly, and Jeffrey Phillips, confirming the meeting of May 23rd, 2025, with Mark Reynolds, and included a brief explanation of what should be submitted prior to the June 12, 2025 meeting. On May 29, 2025, Mark Reynolds advised staff that it was his understanding that Attorney McCoy of Heller, Heller and McCoy would be representing Mr. Phillips. On June 4, 2025, staff received a call from Attorney William McCoy indicating that he would be representing Mr. Phillips in this matter and would forward a copy of an authorization of same. Staff provided to Attorney McCoy a copy of the May 21st, 2025 review comments of Robert Russo, as well as a copy of staff's email of May 27th, 2025 to Mark Reynolds, James Cipperly, and Mr. Phillips. On June 6th, 2025, staff received additional inland wetland soils and watercourses investigation and delineation, Noble Hill Road, parcel ID 061-002-000, owner Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels from James Cipperly, certified soil scientists on behalf of the property owners. This is listed as exhibit number 23. A copy is also attached to the staff report. On June 6, 2025, staff referred a copy of the wetlands report dated June 6, 2025 to Robert Russo for his review and comments. Comments are received back from Mr. Russo dated June 9, 2025 and are listed as exhibit number 24. A copy is attached to the staff report. On June 11, 2025, staff received an authorization form from the property owners Jeffrey Phillips and Jennifer Michaels authorizing the law offices of Heller, Heller, and McCoy to act as an agent on their behalf, which is listed as exhibit number 25. A copy of that is also attached to the staff report. Attorney McCoy is here on behalf of the property owners.
William McCoy, Howard Howard McCoy, I'm authorized to represent the respondents to this request for show cause. I will say this, that I've been involved formally for a little less than a week. I was formally hired. I have been in contact with Mr. Cipperly, who is the author of the June 9th letter to the commission, which is attached to the materials that you've been provided tonight by Stacey Radford. I spoke with Mr. Cipperly late this afternoon. He was unavailable to be here for the meeting himself, but he is working with Mark Reynolds to complete the site survey to support an application for this commission. At this point, there are no activities occurring on the site at this point. It is a matter of preparing an application permit, honestly, after the fact activities that have occurred there, and to mitigate and stabilize the situation. You review Mr. Russo's most recent letter. He's had a chance to review the most recent report. Mr. Cipperly, in general terms, appears to agree with the proposal. The one thing I will indicate to you is plan is not to remove the culvert that was described, but to suggest that that be remain in place, because the removal of it probably creates more problems than it solves. Beyond that, I'm not prepared to talk any more about the specifics, because I have to wait for Mr. Reynolds to provide me his plan so that we can submit an application. But we expect to be able to submit an application for you to provide me. I'm happy to answer.
So can we expect an application by the next meeting?
Yes. Based upon my discussions with Mr. Cipperly and Mr. Reynolds, I fully expect that.
And Mr. Cipperly is a soil scientist. Does he have an engineer?
Yes.
Or is
Mark,
he just using?
Mark Reynolds is the professional engineer.
Okay, thank you. All right. Get everybody's name straight.
Based on the agenda for the July 17th.
Okay. All right. And we'll do continue the hearing until the July meeting.
Correct.
Second.
Okay.
You made the motion.
All right. I made a motion. He's probably seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. New business, 375 Maple Avenue and Route 163. Rand Whitney Realty for regular activities in conjunction with development of a proposed trailer storage facility and elimination of an intermittent water course created by stormwater discharge.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer. For the record, there are a couple of staff technical review comments, which are part of my staff report, and I forwarded that to the applicant for him to address. This application is for regulated activities in conjunction with the development of a proposed trailer storage facility on property located at 375 Maple Avenue, Mottville, Connecticut, in conjunction with its ongoing paperboard manufacturing operations at its industrial plant located on Route 163, Mottville, Connecticut. The applicant is also proposing to eliminate the entirety of the intermittent water course, which has been created by the town of Mottville's discharge of stormwater onto the applicant's property. The applicant, Rand Whitney Realty LLC, is the owner of two adjacent parcels of land located at 375 Maple Avenue, parcel ID 031-015-000 and Route 163, parcel ID 031-019-000, containing approximately 27.54 acres on the north side of Maple Avenue. Sites are largely undeveloped, with approximately 13 acres being a watercourse-styled rockland pond. Both parcels are zoned industrial. The applicant proposes to improve the property located at 375 Maple Avenue to provide additional trailer storage capacity, and in conjunction therewith proposes to reroute an intermittent watercourse created by stormwater discharge. The inland wetland boundary was delineated by Joseph Thoreau, certified forester and soil scientist, and Robert Russo, certified soil scientist with CLA Engineers, Inc., between November 2023 and November 2024. There are two regulated areas of wetland hydrology on the project site. The first regulated area is the 13-acre watercourse and pond area comprised of Oxboxa Brook and Rockland Pond. No work is proposed within this water course, but a portion of the area proposed to be developed is within the 50-foot upland review area. The second regulated area is a small, less than 1 acre, man-made channelized intermittent water course in the northeast corner of 375 Maple Avenue. The channel formed as a result of discharge of stormwater from a 30-inch storm pipe being an outlet for a closed drainage system capturing stormwater on Sharp Hill Road and Carroll Drive. The applicant proposes an extension of a 30-inch drain pipe originating from Maple Avenue towards Oxboxa Brook. The construction of a paved parking area and industrial driveway within and around the small man-made intermittent water course, disturbing a total of 9,496 square feet, and finally, the construction of two stormwater quality basins with sediment forebays within the 50-foot upland review area of Oxboxa Brook and Rockland Pond. These stormwater quality basins will accommodate the rerouted drainage as well as the stormwater runoff, which will be generated by the proposed new parking area on the applicant's property. The applicant has submitted to the Army Corps of Engineers for a jurisdictional determination, and no response had been received as of the time of submission of this application. The applicant agrees to grant valid drainage easements and or rights to drain in favor of the town of Mottville. Proposed work will require 6 months with additional grow-in time for grass-lined swales and stormwater basins as depicted on the plan. Late this afternoon, after I completed my staff report, I did receive an email from Ian Cole, certified soil scientist, on behalf of the town of Mottville. And this was written as his opinion concerning a significant activity. Hi, Stacy. Sorry for the late reply here. It is my professional opinion based on a review of the proposed activities in the town of Maple's definition of a, quote, significant activity, that the relocation of the Sharp Hill drainage, which will require filling a man-made intermittent water course, is a significant activity, as the proposal is significantly changing the dynamic of the water course, albeit one that is man-made. It should be acknowledged that while the proposed activity is significant in the fact it will be relocating a man-made water course and will result in the permanent filling of a water course, it likely will not have a major effect or negative impact due to the nature of the subject feature and the inclusion of design features, which will replace and or has the opportunity to enhance the existing functions of the water course slated to be relocated. As regards to if a public hearing should be considered, I would suggest unless there is a strong public interest to the application, the application is complete and the commission has the necessary information to make a ruling of significance and potentially determination if they feel the applicant has adequately addressed all concerns. Thank you, Ian Cole. And Attorney Harry Heller is here on behalf of the applicant as well as Bob Russo.
Good evening. For the record, Harry Heller, 736 Route 32, Uncasville, representing Rand Whitney Realty, LLC, the property owner and the applicant. Also with me this evening is Robert Russo, certified wetland scientist and ecologist, who is our consultant on this project, as well as William Piniads, who is the applicant's representative on this project. As the staff report indicates, we have two resources involved in this application. Rockland Pond and Oxobaxo Brook, a part of the Oxobaxo River watershed originating at Oxobaxo Lake and draining easterly eventually to the Thames River. That is on the northeasterly portion of the site. And you can see the area highlighted in blue, and these sheets are in the plan set that you have, but the area highlighted in blue is area within the 100-year floodplain. The second resource or potential resource is a intermittent water course that runs essentially easterly and southerly of, but parallel to, Rockland Pond and the Oxobaxo Brook through the site, eventually discharging into the brook down where the former Robertson Road was located. And this intermittent water course is solely the result of a stormwater discharge. You can see if you look at the plan, there is a culvert discharging from two stormwater basins in the intersection of Maple Avenue and Sharp Hill Road, and that discharges about 250 feet into the property. And that is the origination of the delineated intermittent water course. If you look at the plans, you will also note that we have three soil types on the property. The predominant soil is a Merrimack soil, which is prevalent on the northeasterly side of Maple Avenue and encompasses primarily all of the area that we're going to be discussing this evening. The Merrimack soil is delineated in the narrative that's been submitted with the application. It's a well-drained to excessively well-drained soil that has no wetland characteristics. In the very easterly end of the site, we have a uterotherent or urban land area, and that is also a well-drained soil, but it has had its upper horizons disturbed by industrial activity, so it has its own separate classification. In order for a stream like this to meet the definition of a regulated resource under the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Act and your regulations, it has to have a defined channel and two of three additional characteristics. And those characteristics are there has to be evidence of alluvium or detritus along the defined channel. There has to be the presence of hydrophytic vegetation, or there has to be flow in the watercourse more than 24 hours after the end of a storm event. So in delineating this resource, Mr. Russo was of the opinion that it met the definition of an intermittent watercourse because it clearly has a defined channel, and I believe you have pictures of that channel in the record. It also has evidence of alluvium and detritus. It does not have the presence of any hydrophytic vegetation. So the question is whether or not this resource demonstrates flow more than 24 hours after the end of a defined storm event. And it is my opinion, and I've discussed this with Mr. Russo, that while technically it meets that requirement, the intent of the Inland Wetland and Watercourses Act in prioritizing resources that should be protected under the Act contemplated that the base flow occurring in that intermittent watercourse more than 24 hours after the storm event would be the result of exfiltration, which occurs from the saturated upland soils adjacent to the watercourse. Mr. Russo did not see any evidence of exfiltration from the adjacent upland areas in his investigation and delineation of this watercourse. The flow which is occurring in this stream after the more than 24 hours after the end of the storm event is solely the result of the discharge of stormwater from the end of the town's drainage culvert, which discharges in this location here about 250 feet northeasterly of Maple Avenue. And that water being discharged is water being transported through that system by artificial conveyance from Sharp Hill Road and Carroll Drive, some of it originating 3/4 of a mile away from the location of the resource. So we're not creating a jurisdictional argument here. We understand that based on the report prepared by Mr. Russo and the delineation by Mr. Russo and Mr. Thoreau, that they consider this a regulated resource. However, in evaluating the characteristics of that resource and what impact the proposed activities are having on a regulated resource, I think it's important to recognize the context in which this intermittent watercourse arose. And it arose, we believe, in the 1970s, although we do not have an exact date, when the town installed the closed drainage system in Sharp Hill Road and Carroll Drive. They did so and installed this culvert across the Rand Whitney Realty LLC property on property of its predecessors in title without any authorization. We have conducted a complete title search of this property, and the town has no drainage easement to maintain these structures, and they have no drainage rights to discharge stormwater on the property. So obviously, the presence of that culvert and the discharge has had a profound impact on the permitting of this property for industrial use. It is located in the industrial zoning district. In our discussions in formulating a plan for the development of this property, we have proposed to, upon approval and in conjunction with the development of the property, to grant the town an easement in order to replace this 30-inch corrugated metal pipe culvert and extend it further to the northeast, where it would discharge and eventually get into discharge into Rockland Pond. So you can see that on the site development plan, we're proposing to extend that culvert, put in substantial outlet protection in this location, and take that water and discharge it to Rockland Pond and eventually to Oxabaxo Brook. The development proposal is the development of a trailer storage facility, which will be a paved facility located on the northeasterly side of Maple Avenue. It will have emergency access from Maple Avenue, but that will be an access that will not be primarily used. The primary access, and this is trailer parking that is desperately needed in conjunction with Rand Whitney's paperboard manufacturing facilities. You may recall years ago we permitted a trailer storage facility on Route 163 on the other side of Oxabaxo Brook, and that is not meeting the capacity needs of the manufacturing facility. So primary traffic movement for the storage of the trailers on this site will be through a proposed internal road, which will lead to Robertson Road, which was discontinued by the town of Montville and is now interior to the manufacturing site, and allow for a better flow of trucks, both for incoming recycled paper to be used in the manufacturing facility as well as outgoing completed product. The project has been designed in order to accommodate the 2023 Stormwater Quality Manual, which requires the treatment of the first 1.3 inches of rainfall. And that will be accommodated in a series of swales, grass-lined swales, one on the westerly side of the proposed trailer storage area and one interior to it. Those will discharge to a series of basins where the stormwater will be treated with sufficient residency time to attain the removal of, suspended solids as required by the 2023 Stormwater Quality Manual.
Can I stop you for a minute there?
Sure.
I've already wasted a lot of your time, so maybe I can avoid wasting some more of it. Our inland wetland regulations say a public hearing will be held if there is a significant impact on a wetland or water course.
Correct.
So we got to hold a public hearing.
I disagree totally, and I'll get to that.
Okay, but you may have to repeat yourself.
Yeah. So let's talk about the jurisdictional issue, because there is, and you have two reports. You have a report from Robert Russo, indicating that this is not a, does not have a significant impact on wetlands and watercourses. And you also have the letter that you received today from your consultant, Ian Cole. And if you read Ian Cole's letter, what Ian Cole says is this is a significant activity, but it does not have a significant impact. And then if you go to the permitting requirements contained in your regulations, Section 9.1 of your regulation says the Inland Wetlands Commission shall not hold a public hearing on an application unless the commission determines that the proposed activity may have a significant impact on wetlands and watercourses. Doesn't say anything about the significance of the activity, and we don't dispute the fact that this is a significant construction activity.
But you've got an intermittent watercourse that's going to fill in. How do you say that's not a significant impact to a watercourse? You're filling it in. You're eliminating it.
We're eliminating it. That's correct. But when you talk about significant impact is defined in your regulations, and there are a number of criteria. And it says significant impact means any activity, including but not limited to the following activities, which may have a major effect. Major effect. Any activity involving deposition or removal of material which will or may have a substantial effect on the wetland or watercourse or on the wetlands or watercourses outside the area for which the activity is proposed. Both of the consultants, the applicant's consultants and the your own consultant, Ian Cole, have said that while the activity is significant, it will not have a significant impact. The next criteria, any activity which substantially changes the natural channel or may inhibit the natural dynamics of a wetland, of a watercourse system. Natural channel is the term used in your regulations. We don't have a natural channel. We have a channel that was created by man-made activity, by the town discharging without authorization its stormwater onto the applicant's property. The third criteria, any activity which substantially diminishes the natural capacity of an inland wetland or watercourse to aquatic, plant, or animal life and habitats, prevents flooding, supply water, assimilate waste, facilitate drainage, provide recreation or open space or other functions. Again, if you look at the reports of the two professional consultants, there is no indication that the elimination of this intermittent watercourse and extension of the culvert will have a significant adverse impact on any of those functions. Number five. Any activity which is likely to cause or that has the potential to cause a substantial turbidity, siltation, or sedimentation in a wetland or watercourse. Again, the reports do not substantiate that, and I would submit that the construction proposed, which will result in the installation of properly designed and maintained outlet protection at the relocated end of the culvert will decrease siltation and turbidity, because currently the stormwater is discharging just from the end of the 30-inch culvert with no erosion protection whatsoever. Number five, any activity which causes substantial diminution of flow of a natural watercourse or groundwater levels of the wetland or watercourse. The important resource here is the Rockland Pond and the Oxabaxo River. The water from the discharge of the culvert that currently flows across the site discharges to that primary system. That same hydraulic regime will be maintained in conjunction with the proposed construction with the discharge to Rockland Pond. So the hydraulic regime will not be changed by this proposal. Six, any activity which is likely to cause or has the potential to cause pollution of a wetland or watercourse We would submit that by installing proper outlet protection and incorporating good design for the management of stormwater, both with respect to the town's drainage as well as with respect to the site-generated stormwater, we will improve the situation and a cleaner water will be discharged both to Rockland Pond and Oxabaxa Brook. And seven, any activity which destroys unique wetland or watercourse areas or such areas having demonstrable scientific or educational value. There is no indication that there is anything unique about this man-made intermittent watercourse or that it has any historic or scientific value. So while we feel that regulation is required here, we do not believe that the impact to a wetland or watercourse is significant. And for that reason, as Ian Call intimated in his letter, a public hearing is not required, that you have sufficient information in the application and the supporting materials to evaluate the impact and make a determination. The only other thing I would like to mention, because it was referenced, is the fact that the applicant has applied to the Army Corps of Engineers for a jurisdictional determination. I just want to point out that Army Corps permitting and your permitting under the Inland Wetlands and Watercourses Act and your regulations are separate and distinct. They're based on different criteria. So while we are pursuing that path for a jurisdictional determination with Corps, and we'll keep the commission and staff apprised of any feedback that we get, that is separate and distinct from your permitting jurisdiction. And it's likely that we won't even have a response by the time period within which you're going to be required to act. So that's what I have, Bob.
I guess it rests on the definition of a substantial effect on the water course.
I don't disagree.
I don't disagree that this really isn't something that rises to the level of a community interest and all that. I just want to stay within the regs. And I don't. If we had a public hearing, we would probably be able to vote on it right after anyways. We can't vote till next month anyhow.
I understand that, and I made my pitch.
What's your guys' opinion as far as...
I'd say it's significant. I'd like a hearing.
I'd say it's... What's the difference between that and all the other drainage that gets water that gets dumped on people's property that we don't have right-of-ways?
The issue is that we're filling in a water course, not...
Yeah, but it's... They're going to make it better, because right now, as all that water comes down the Sharps Hill and Maple Ave, it's going through that pipe, the 30-inch pipe, collecting velocity going through there, and then just dumping all the sand and everything into that waterway, which feeds the brook. Now, if these guys are going to come in and put the HDPE pipe through there with 6 inches of riprap and a splash pad and everything else that's going to go through there, they're slowing that velocity of that water down, and it's still going to go to the same place whether it goes through
right.
That.
I agree, and it's that's the reason to approve the permit when it, in the end, the question is how do you get there? Because the regulations say significant, we have to have a hearing if there's a significant impact on the water course. That's all. I'm just trying to stay within what the regs require versus.
What's.
Because, I mean, this is pretty unimportant. And I think, honestly, if we said we wanted a hearing, we've got to wait till next month. We have the hearing next month. My opinion is we vote to approve. It's just, you know, staying within the regs. That's more my concern.
Doug, do you want to, I know Stacey read Ian's email, but do you want to see a copy of it since you
No, I don't think I need to. It's the, and go ahead.
Sure. For the record, Bob Russo, soil scientist for the project. And I think Attorney Heller gave you a very thorough accounting of what's going on here. I just wanted to indicate that, as he mentioned, I've submitted a letter as well. And again, we've talked for a while, and I just want to just restate the conclusion of the letter, that in terms of functions that the wetlands serve, the functions that we attach to the resources on the site really go to the Oxibaxo and the pond. That eroded channel that we see in terms of wetland functions, and you can see this in my report, it's really pretty devoid of those. It is, in fact, a drainage outlet. So if the commission's considering whether there would be wetland function lost from relocating that drainage outlet from where it is today, a little bit further upstream, my conclusion is that, no, there's not going to be a loss of functions and values there. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions as well.
Well, honestly, I just struggle with maintaining the language of the statute says.
Understood.
Substantial effect. Substantial effect has a, and I'm asking the other commissioners for, you know, opinions either way. I'm not saying that this is, you know, the Everglades. It's a drainage ditch.
Understood. Thank you.
I'll just do this. I'm going to make a motion that we call this a significant activity and then ask for a public hearing at our July meeting.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. So we'll go over this in July at the public.
Do you want to do a site visit?
You want to do a site visit?
No. I mean, we're quite familiar with where it is.
See a lot of it. Okay.
All right, so we can do a drive. I just want to stay within the regulations. I don't want to bypass what is in them. So. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, new business, 62 and 66 Beechwood Road, Oakdale, Connecticut. Owners Tom McCarthy and Joseph and Roberta Zizek. Applicant Town of Montville for regular activities to restore a culvert and channel between the respective properties.
Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer, for the record. On this application, there are a couple of technical review comments which are listed on your staff report and have been sent to the applicant for them to address. This application is for regulated activities to restore and reinforce a section of an unnamed stream and drainage channel located at number 62 and number 66 Beechwood Road in Montville. The site is comprised of a 0.39 acre parcel known as 62 Beechwood Road and a 0.44 acre parcel known as 66 Beechwood Road, which are located on the southeast side of Beechwood Road in Oakdale. Both parcels are developed for single family residential use. The inland wetland boundary was delineated by Robert Russo, certified soil scientist, between 2023 and September 9th, 2024. The applicant states that there is an unnamed stream which flows westward across the sites and later joins Bogue Brook, which is part of the Nyanic River system. The stream receives stormwater runoff from the upgradient neighborhood and is therefore subject to highly variable water flows and velocities. The stream crosses Beechwood Road via a 36-inch reinforced concrete pipe which discharges into a natural gravel, stone, and wooded channel located at number 62 Beechwood Road. insufficient erosion protection at the point of discharge and of immediate downstream areas have caused and continue to cause significant erosion of the downstream channel and is encroaching towards the residents of number 62 Beechwood Road. The concrete pipe is showing signs of structural fatigue and the downstream opening is cracked, and as is the concrete block head wall built around the opening. The project proposes to introduce measures that will restore and protect the channel embankments from further erosion and add additional lawn space for the residents at number 62 and number 66 Beechwood Road. The applicant proposes to install a new drainage pipe further into the wetland to reduce erosion impacts on neighboring properties, install a preformed riprap plunge pool, and construct a low-flow natural channel using native rocks and boulders. The proposed activity will result in a disturbance of 3,460 square feet, of which 670 square feet is permanent fill. All proposed work will be completed with excavators, bulldozers, and dump trucks. The application fee is waived in accordance with the Inland Wetland and Water Course Regulations, Section 20.3, Municipal Applications. And I did also request from the soil scientist whom this application was referred to find out if this would also be a significant impact. However, he's not gotten back to me. But if the commission does feel it is a significant impact, we will need to schedule a public hearing for this as well. Robert Russo is here on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you. You get me again one more time tonight. For the record, my name is Robert Russo. I'm a certified soil scientist with CLA Engineers. Here on behalf of the town of Montville, reviewed this project with the Department of Public Works, and I think I'm going to take a little different tack to introducing you to the project and just ask if you all have copies of the report that I sent in front of you, which I expect you do. And I'll ask you to just flip to the very last photograph. In that should be the very back end of the document. And it's showing the erosion at 62 Beechwood Road. So this is on the outlet side of the culvert that we're talking about on Beechwood Road. And you can see, if you're all on that photo, it has really cut into the neighbor's yard, and there's a lot of erosive force during storm events coming out of this culvert. And I mentioned that first because that's really the problem that we're trying to address here. That's the motive for the whole project. And now I would just like to dive into what's going on here. If you know where Beechwood Road is, it's over in the western part of town. It's in a fairly thickly built neighborhood with Glendale Road, Laurel Drive, Utz, and Beechwood. It's probably a 1960s neighborhood, I would guess. And the houses are fairly dense in there. The drainage system is old. There's a lot of runoff. So upstream of Beechwood Road, you have a lot of houses, a lot of driveways, a lot of road that feed into this stream. It's an upper perennial stream. It's a first order stream, doesn't have any tributaries feeding it. This is just about where it begins to be a perennial stream. And the drawing I have in front of you now, which is sheet one in the plan set, shows the existing conditions. Beechwood runs up and down. Basically, it's almost a north-south road. On the right, I'm pointing to the upstream side of the site. In the middle, here's Beechwood. There's a culvert under Beechwood Road right now that comes out at a head wall that's right here on number 62 Beechwood. Most of the channel, most of this stream is on 62. Some of it is over on the neighbor's property on 66. So if you would take the photographs that you have and flip to the first in the sequence that's attached, you're now standing with Beechwood Road to your back and you're looking down the stream. So you get a feel for what the stream is like. It's not a terribly wide stream, maybe 12 feet wide or so. There's a lot of boulders there. What you see in the foreground of that picture is this angled wall. If you flip to photograph two, this is the opposite view. This is looking from the stream channel up to Beechwood Road. You can sort of barely see in the center of the photograph there the culvert that is the outlet. This is where the water's flowing out. That head wall is at a really strange angle. That head wall is here, and it points water flowing out at this wall here, and it's eroding underneath that so that it's just about ready to fall in. Once it redirects that water, it shoots across the other side of the stream and erodes the neighbor's yard away. So here's the house for 62 Beechwood. Here's the head wall. The water flows out, hits this bank, flows across, and erodes the neighbor's yard. An important design consideration in this project is we want to extend where this outlet lets that water out so it's downstream of the neighbor's house. We do not want the neighbor's house to be in danger, which if the erosion continues the way it's going, that yard will eventually collapse and it'll work its way back to the corner of the house. So one reason why we're saying we want to fill stream channel here is to move that outlet so that it is downstream of the neighbor's house, to protect that neighbor's house. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here. I want to flip now to the sheets that show the proposed design and talk about that a little bit. Okay, I'm on plan sheet three now. Again, Beechwood Road is over on the right side of the drawing. The house at 62 Beechwood is right here in the center of the drawing. And you can see this bold dashed line is where we want to extend the culvert. The proposal is to actually fill in from where that existing head wall is downstream several feet till we're downstream of the neighbor's house, install a preformed plunge pool that's going to dissipate that velocity, because as you can see from that photographs, the water really has high velocity coming out of the pipe right now. We need something to cut down that velocity. So it means installing the preformed plunge pool in here with riprap. And then we do have a perennial stream here, and we want to pay attention to trying to recreate some natural habitat. So if you follow this dark line that's in the center of the channel, what Darren Hayward, who is the engineer on this project, and I have done is looked at what the stream flows are, and we're going to have a low flow channel like you would have in a natural stream. It's going to have some S-curves in it. It's going to be a little bit sinuous. All the rock on either side is going to be regraded so that we have a more natural low flow channel and higher flow channel in here. And if you remember from the pictures we showed before, we have a lot of good rounded boulders in here. So once we're past the riprap, we can recreate a natural stream channel here and really recreate some of the habitat that should be there instead of the eroded out channels that you're seeing. This work involves some dewatering. We have dewatering setups shown on the plan. We'll actually intercept the water in the manhole that's up above so we can pump around and be pumping clear water out down below. This work is going to have to be done in summertime low flow conditions. That's a condition that's written on the plans that's going to have to be enforced. You want to do this during low flow so that you're not going to generate a lot of sediments and get them washed downstream. We also have, at the end of the channel, we're placing some natural boulders so that, at the end of the work zone, not at the end of the channel, We're placing some natural boulders to make a riffle. It's nice to have a pool and riffle effect in any natural stream, and so we're doing our best here to recreate the naturally occurring conditions. Beyond that, we have typical erosion and sedimentation control best management practices here. We have a lot of good material to work with here. Myself or someone like me will have to be on the site to direct the installation of that channel to make sure that the ENS measures are being properly followed. But we feel that the project goal here, which is getting rid of this erosion problem, can be accomplished with a relatively minimal, few hundred square feet, filling of actual resource, and then restoration of the resource below. I think that gives you a summary of the project, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about it.
Can you talk about any alternatives you considered to burying the stream?
To filling in the stream?
Yep.
Really, if we don't move this outlet down below this house, we're putting that house at risk. I'm going to take a step back and just say that the problem that you see here, the alternatives to solving it here would be going upstream mm-hmm. and trying to get neighbors, people that are up there to significantly reduce the impervious surface that's feeding it. And given that's mostly in private ownership, it would be very hard to convince enough people to reduce impervious surface to really have an effect down here. And in looking at it, we felt we really have to deal with the problem here. Mm-hmm. This is really basically our only alternative in terms of where we can deal with it. And the form of dealing with it, really, once the water's in this channel, we have to find some way of slowing it down. The best way to slow down water with that kind of velocity is big angular rock.
Are you putting in a new manhole?
We are. So,
yeah, so that's not an existing manhole.
A new manhole.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. If I said existing, I was
incorrect. I was curious because I didn't.
No, new manhole. Yep.
How long will the project take?
The construction will be 2 or 3 months.
So if there's a major storm in the meantime,
they're going to have to, and we've put some notes on the plans about pump sizing and what they'll need to do. And I didn't include it in this set, but in your plan set, there is a dewatering plan, and they're going to have a temporary pipe set up from up above, skirting around to take that storm event, and that is in the dewatering plan. We've specified a pipe size so that in a storm event, which is likely to happen, they do have a setup where they have a pipe going right around.
Don't you have two lines and two different phases?
I think that we do. If you have the dewatering plan in front of you.
Phase two.
Yes. You can see that we've provided them with information to set up pipes for dewatering, and those pipes will take, more typical storm events, a 2 or 5 year storm event.
So those are set up essentially at the start of the project just as a fail-safe?
Exactly. They have to go in and set up that dewatering before they actually start doing any of the work in the channel itself. Mm-hmm.
Willing to give up the mic for a minute.
If I could only just, sorry, there's just a couple more things I'll mention that I'm happy to hand it over. So Two things. As with the previous application, I know the commission will consider whether this is a significant impact or not. And we understand you may want to hold a public hearing if you feel inclined to. You know, we certainly understand that and would just ask that you go ahead and schedule it if you're so inclined. That was the last thing I had to say. Thank you.
So my name's Joe Zizek, and I live at 66 Beechwood Road. I've lived there for 39 years. I've lost about 5 feet of yard into the stream. I've lost, it's overflowed. I can't tell you how many times that the whole front yard's been wiped out. The neighbors probably lost about 2.5 feet. If you were to wait 40 more years, his house will be in the stream. My house would be close. So I imagine that doesn't help you a whole lot, but just to get an overview that it's been eroding for years, not for just a couple of months. Okay, thank you.
May I ask another question? Given the nature of people's homes and their personal property, their lives at stake in this case, are you considering bigger storms than we're regulated for? So not the 2 to 5 year, but when the big one comes, can this setup keep them safe?
I think that's a great question. Yeah, the design itself of the channel considers those storms. The temporary dewatering.
Can you define those storms, like 100-year, 500-year storms?
So I will have the project engineer, Darren Hayward, who did the analysis of the drainage, ready to review that with you at the next meeting, because as a soil scientist, I'm not the expert witness on that. And unfortunately, Darren couldn't make it tonight, but I will have him go through the complete hydraulic analysis with you at the next meeting so that you can see how the channel is designed and the capacity of the low flow channel versus the overall channel of the stream and how that's designed to contain even the larger storms.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But the bypass is only for
construction purposes.
It's only for construction purposes. And I will ask Darren again. I'm not the designer. I'll ask him what storm the bypass will take. But we do typically consider that, you know, there are going to be some storms while you're doing it, and you need to have a system set up to pass a greater flow around than summertime low flow. So this stream, I'll just mention, being a very upper perennial stream during the summertime, the flow in it is going to be barely a trickle, which is like the best condition that we can do it in, and why we like to specify that it has to be done in summertime low flow conditions.
So the size of the dewatering is 2 15-inch pipes is recommended. So that's, and what size is the culvert going through there right now, existing culvert?
Hang on just a second. I'm going to double check. 36-inch RCP.
So it's pretty much got it covered.
Well, I'm just looking at the report says a 2-year event is 27.7 CFS. And here says the bypass must be capable of carrying 27 CFS. He's looking at the 2-year storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think he meant 28. I think he forgot a 7 there.
Oh, it's possible. I will have Darren at the next meeting just to go over with you the calculations for the drainage study itself and requirements for the bypass.
Think we can do a drive-by or something on
it? Oh, yeah, is it drive-byable? Can you see it from there?
It is. I mean, you can get onto, well, you can see a lot of it if you just step off the edge of the road. If you want to see get a better look at the erosion that's going on, you're going to need to go beyond that and go on to the property owner's property. So in that case, the commission might want to schedule a walk.
Do you want to see this? I mean, the photos are pretty comprehensive, but yeah. Anybody want to go see this or not?
There's no doubt that it's a real issue that needs to be addressed, and the photos are very clear and
photos
showing.
Show it, you know. You can see it all from Beechwood if you
jump
down.
I'm cool.
I'm fine with it.
Thanks for taking good photos.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. I'll mention the public hearing. Anybody feel this is significant?
Yeah.
Think so?
I mean, it's similar to what we just saw of, you know, dramatically changing the water course. We have to meet again anyways. I don't know. What do you think?
For me, it's you're just moving the outlet. It's the same stream. You're moving the outlet out a little bit. I mean, the prior one, you were basically eliminating a stream.
That's true.
This, you're just... So I'm...
You're correcting an existing problem.
Restoring.
Yeah. So, if you think it is, make a motion.
I hear you, Doug. I'm okay with it not being so.
I don't care.
I'm good.
All right.
In that case, there is a motion in your paperwork. It would be motion B to continue to the next meeting.
Yeah, that's what we need. I'll just make it because it saves time. If I can find my agenda. Let me say I make a motion we continue 25 IBC 12, 62 and 66 Beechwood Road to our next regularly scheduled meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Here's the answer. Correspondence. A letter from Ms. Shaw Law Group regarding a proposal. A 1 megawatt.
This is just a referral. It is a solar array that's being installed at 95 Old Colchester Road in the town of Salem. It is being approved through the Connecticut Siting Council, but you're just being made aware of it.
Okay.
All right. Other business. So as I was poking around stuff the other day, I found out something that I don't know how necessary it is. I mean, our practice has always been when somebody comes in and says they've been hired for the town as our wetland person, that we say, great, welcome aboard, continue to march. And prior till now, we've never allowed the wetlands person to approve things as of right. The problem with the issue is that it has a lot to do with who the person is, and I won't go into details, but the person who was here many years ago, several people back, we didn't trust. So we had never allowed that. But there's a statement in one of the manuals, and I can't remember which one, from the commissioner of the DEP said they don't have an official opinion, but they strongly recommend that we vote to appoint. So they're saying regardless of who the town hires, if we don't appoint them as our designated agent, they may not be our designated agent. So we need to make a motion to appoint Stacy as our designated agent, just to avoid the old loophole in the lawsuit thing.
Do we appoint Stacy or do we appoint the position title?
No, it has to be the person.
Okay.
And that's what it said in this thing from the DEP, that just the fact that the town hired somebody doesn't make them a designated.
I see. Okay. So I'll have to do it.
I would imagine.
Here, yeah, okay.
There's the designated agent is mentioned in, I think, four different sections of our regulations. Mm-hmm. And so if we say, and I sent a motion to Stacy, I don't know if you sent it to everybody, but I did send it kind of late. But it's like section 4, section 12, section 15. Section 4 is the as of right section. So if we get another wetland person in here, and we don't necessarily, if we're not sure, we can always say we only approve section 12 and section 15 or whatever three sections are. So we need to make a motion to appoint her our designated agent. The question is do we want to appoint the, I'll step back one more sec. Designated agent accepts the permits when they come in. You know, so they go down, they show up in the thing. Somebody has to say, oh, they're here, you know. The designated agent is the one who sends out cease and desist letters, things like that. So that's why you need to appoint the designated agent, because that's what she's doing, and she can't function. The only part of that that may be questionable is whether or not we appoint her to approve as of right activities. So somebody would come in and say, I want to, you know, dig a hole in my yard. She says, that's a as of right activity. The following week she comes in and says, I told so-and-so it was as of right activity. And it at that point we could always say, no, it's not. Make everybody mad and go back and do it over again. But it just saves people from having to come here and fill out an application and explain to us and all this stuff for something that they got a right to do. So if we could get a motion, I think we need two motions. One would be to appoint, or just one. To make Stacy the designated. So I don't know if people have opinions on that.
Can we trust her? Dave, can we trust her?
Yeah, or I wouldn't have brought it up. I mean, does anybody have a problem with Stacy approving as of right applications? We've seen
them,
right?
She's doing it already.
Well, she hasn't been. She's had to come before us, yeah.
How many do we have?
There's quite a few.
Yeah,
I mean,
quite often.
If you want to cut down a tree and leave the stump there, that's an as of right. You've got to come in and ask the commission, can I cut down this tree? Could be a tree that's ready to fall on your house, but it's in the wetlands.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got to wait until the next meeting.
And then nobody came, and we got to wait till the next meeting.
Or they just do
or
it.
Or they just cut it down.
And she has to issue a violation.
Like, was it last month? The guy had a bunch of wood on his property. He's maintaining his property. He's not really cutting trees down. Somebody made a phone call, and the guy's just taking care of his property. And it's not. It's like every 2 months we'll have one. The only questionable one really is if someone is deciding to do a timber harvest.
Mm-hmm.
There's two things I'll say that I've seen over the years is timber harvest and agricultural operations. Because the way the courts have said this, it says in there things that are directly related to the farming operation are as of right, except for constructing a road. So you can't build a road to get to the pasture. Once you get to the pasture, you do whatever the heck you want. That occasionally causes confusion. The other one is when they do a timber harvest, which is an agricultural operation, a lot of times they need to build some sort of a road and some bridges to get in there. So the bridge and the road need to come before us. The timber harvest is as of right. And that can sometimes create some real gray areas. If they're using an existing road and an existing bridge or whatever, a lot of times they'll say, well, it's an existing bridge. We just put a bunch of logs over the top of it. Well, kind of modify the road. So that's the only one I think that sometimes will get a gray area. So, so but if no one has an issue, did you print out that the motion?
I did not.
All right.
My apologies.
No, no, that's no problem. My motion. So if no one has an issue, I'll see if I can find that stupid motion. So then what I'll say is I'd like to make a motion that current land use and development staff Stacy Radford, zoning and wetlands officer, will be designated and authorized as the designated agent for this commission pursuant to sections 4, 8, 12, and 14 of the Mount Melinda Wetlands and Water Courses regulations. In the event that an as-of-right determination has been granted by the above-designated staff, it will be presented to the commission at the next scheduled regular meeting for informational purposes.
I second it.
All right. And four is the one that really matters. So. Any discussion? Long way to go. All in favor?
Aye.
Welcome aboard. Motion carries unanimously. No executive session. One more motion.
I make a motion. We adjourn.
Second it.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Sorry I was late. I actually have another meeting I'm supposed to be at right now.
Will you make it?
Started at 7.
No.